Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
all sit down, Kobe Shaq.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It is an honor and a pleasure to be here on tonight, Wednesday night, for Wednesday night Bible study, a time of pouring in. Amen. A time of receiving knowledge and wisdom that cometh from God. And just opening up our understanding, amen, of the scripture and what the word of God is saying. We're still journeying into our lesson, the power of forgiveness and being set free. When we're able to forgive, I mean completely forgive, not just in saying it, but in actually doing it in your daily responses and your reactions and your actions. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So let us pray as we enter in. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, we come to see, receive on tonight, oh God. We come walking in expectations. Oh Lord, let there be a great pouring in on tonight in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We thank you for your word is true and established forever in heaven. Father God, we ask in Jesus' name, oh God, oh Lord, that you will open up the channels of our spirit, even right now, oh God, and those that are in our house, oh God, those that have an ear to hear, Father God, and a heart to comprehend, Lord. Let it be so in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We come against every hindering spirit on the line, every unteachable spirit, every confusion spirit, every spirit of disbelief. And we command you to cease your works and die at the root and come out in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We decree and declare victory on tonight. Amen. We receive the victory in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We decree and declare that it is so, and it shall be no other way. And we thank you for it, Lord. We bless your holy name as we enter in. It's in Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Tonight we're just continuing on. It's a pleasure, as I stated earlier, an honor to be back here in position. Amen. Me and Pastor Manny, we had a great time on our vacation celebrating my birthday and our wedding anniversary. And we just thank God for keeping us, blessing us in our going and coming, that we're back in position, ready, refreshed. Amen. With a clear conscience. Amen. Hallelujah. And just thanking God for forgiveness, amen. And so we have been forgiven, and we have it in us to forgive. So we thank God on tonight as we journey on in our lesson of study, you know, the power of forgiveness and being free, amen, being free from that. So tonight we're going to start off in the book of Psalm, amen, hallelujah. Pastor Manny will grab his things here and we're going to go in because I'm going to have you to help me out a little bit here tonight. Okay. Just by reading different translations in the Bible, of course, I always like to get your input on the lesson as we go forth. We're in Psalms 51. We're going to start off in Psalm 51 tonight. And actually, verse 1. Mm-hmm. Amen, amen. Again, if you're just now tuning in or you're listening online tonight, we are still journeying in our lesson of study, the power of forgiveness and being free, amen, when we're able to forgive and totally be free. Hallelujah. Amen. So tonight we're going to start in the scripture in Psalm 51. First of all, we're going to talk about how does the need for justice contribute to unforgiveness. A lot of times we want justice to be served, right, before we can forgive or feel, you know, we're holding on to that unforgiveness because we feel like it's not fair. It's not fair. They need to suffer. They need to, you know, they need to reap what they have sown. I'm not going to forgive them. They've done too much. They went too far. And I just will not until they feel how I feel or they get what's coming to them. And, you know, having an understanding of that. So, you know, we feel outraged, of course, when justice is denied. I was watching something a while ago where there was someone had committed a crime, a murder, and the parent of that son or daughter was on there. And the first thing the mother said was that I forgive. I forgive. And they say, because I am a child of God, I have to forgive, and I forgive that man. I forgive that woman for what they have done. And it's hard, you know, for some of us, even in the body of Christ, to render forgiveness. But I want you to understand, it was not about the person. Amen? It was not about the person. You are free when you forgive. There's freedom that comes. Can you imagine, you know, the hurt, the pain that you hold on to when you're holding on to that unforgiveness? And when you release yourself, and at the same time, there's also release from that person and say, wait a minute, you mean to tell me they can see Christ in you that I've taken your loving away. I've done this terrible thing, and you're telling me you forgive me and even that you love me? Hallelujah. I don't know about y'all, but, you know, it's not easy. It's not easy because we want to see people to be, you know, pay the price of what they've done, you know, and I can't forgive you right now until you pay, until you do what I need you to do. It needs to be done to you before I render that forgiveness. Amen. So, again, the cry out for justice is a common thing for everyone. Everyone except the guilty person waiting to receive justice. Then the cry out, or the cry is not for justice, but for mercy. Amen. So when we look in the book of Psalm 51:1, and I believe Pastor Manning has the King James Version open right now, and I have the New King James Version, and I know this particular scripture to be the Psalm 51 to be the prayer of repentance, and this is David. And if you have your Bibles open, my Bible has the theme, and the author shows that here, and it tells me the Psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet went to him, and after he had gone into Bathsheba.
Yeah.
So the theme says that David's plea for mercy, forgiveness, and cleansing. So God wants our heart to be right with him.
Yeah.
Amen. So the Bible says in the New King James Version, it says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions.
Amen.
My Lord, my God.
Yes.
So David was truly sorry for his adultery with Bathsheba and for murdering her husband to cover it up. He knew that his actions have hurt many people. But because David, I want us to understand this, because David repented of those sins, God mercifully forgave him. I want us to understand, church, there is no sin too great to be forgiven. You may have a hard time, you know, giving forgiveness, but God, amen, hallelujah, he will quickly forgive us for our sins. And I'm going to pass the man and read the same scripture in Psalm 51:1. Okay, so if you're just tuning in right now, we're in Psalm 51:1. Are you reading from the Message?
Which I read from which version you want me to read it from?
Oh, either one. I just want to get a different translation here. So that's going to be Psalm.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty close. The King James and the New King James. Be
pretty close, yeah.
So let's read it here from
the Message.
Yeah, I guess we can't read it from the Message.
Is that both the Message and
Amplified? I have the Message and the NIV.
Okay, so we're going to read
the National Version, and I have the Message.
Okay, so we're going to take it from both the NIV and the Message, if that's okay.
Okay, give me a second. Let me get there.
All righty. Okay. All right, we just said
51.
And 1.
And 1.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them are right here together, so I'll read here. Psalms 51. Psalms 51. Glory to God. Thank everyone for being here online, everyone being here in Sunday service this afternoon. And thank God for this opportunity to deliver this message, this word, just taking it. Psalms 51, verses 1, and New International Version first, then the Messenger. So the New International Version, it reads here, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion,
yes,
blot out my transgression.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And here's the Message translation. I'll read the same in the Message translation. It says, genuine, it says, generous in love,
mm-hmm.
God give grace. Huge in mercy,
mm-hmm.
wipe out my bad record.
Mm-hmm.
Scrub away my guilt.
Mm-hmm.
It says, soak out my sins mm-hmm. in your laundry. I have had, it says, I've known, it says, I know how I have done bad. It says, I know how I have done bad. I know how bad I've been, excuse me. My sins are starting me down. Now, that's one. That's what it says here. So here it is that David is crying out for mercy. Amen. This mercy. See, David, he knew, I don't want to take it away from you, Apostle, but here it is. We too, you know, just like David, we need to understand who God is. I like the way he started out right here. He says, you're generous in love to your God. He said, give me grace.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you're huge in mercy. Wipe out my record. Scrub away my guilt. See, we too, we have a lot of things that, you know, that we face every single day, and we enter into sin and enter into darkness and enter in all these different type of things where either we are the one that need to ask for forgiveness, or we may even be the one that need to render forgiveness. But see, David, he knows that God is, he is grace, you know, and he is mercy. Say, and he knows that his cry out to God, you know, his plea, you know, for mercy, that's all because he know God. He knows his nature. He knows what God is all about. See, we too need to understand that when it comes down to forgiveness, when it comes down to rendering forgiveness, or when it comes down to receiving forgiveness from someone else, we need to know who that is. See, what you're doing is, just like David, you are agreeing with, hey, forgiveness is available for me. It lives on the inside. And because it's available for me, what you're receiving is you're receiving God. You are receiving grace.
Mm-hmm.
You're receiving God. And we're also to give grace and to give forgiveness. So you are actually spiritually giving God to someone. You're giving God that same opportunity, what he's asking for. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So, we're talking about the power of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And being free from it. But understanding how what contributes to unforgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because when, if we can identify that thing and we can deal with
mm-hmm.
the root of it, amen, we can be finished from it. We can be
mm-hmm.
delivered from that thing. But if we're only going to deal with what's on the surface and not get down to it, then we're going to continue to be in bondage to what? Unforgiveness.
Yeah.
And the enemy wants to keep you there. Why? Yeah. So that you don't receive the forgiveness. Because we have been commanded that. That we are to forgive one another. We're supposed to forgive one another, amen. And that's operating in love, you know, the love of Christ, because Christ is quick to forgive. God is quick to forgive. You come asking for forgiveness. And even, you know, before you ask, he's already ready to forgive. But he's waiting on you, his child, to come and ask for forgiveness.
I like that.
Amen. You want to say something?
Yeah, I like that, what you just said. You said God is quick to forgive, and you're so right about that. You know, there's nothing about you that he don't know, and neither is there anything about you that God don't understand. But see, the issue is not with God forgiving us, because he did that, you know, when he gave Jesus Christ. He did that when he gave his own life. See, God had already did that
yeah.
long before you and I had even existed. See, he had already did that. But the whole thing is you settling it in your mind, and you settling it in your heart, and you also making a stance in your life that this is what God has done. This is his doing. See, when it's not settled in you. Mm. See, when you're thinking that, you know, hey, not that, okay, well, I don't need to ask. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that when you understand what had already transpired, you know, forgiveness has already been made available. Mercy has already been made available. See, it's right there in that place called grace. Grace, grace, grace. And you have to fix your mind on that. So I like that, what you said. You know, God is quick to forgive.
Yeah. He is ready to forgive. He's already in position to. Amen. Hallelujah. So as we continue on here and just understanding, but why is the need for justice so strong and natural?
Mm-hmm.
And why is forgiveness so difficult and unnatural?
Mm-hmm.
There are three reasons here, and I'll read those to you here.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, God has instilled within every human heart a sense of right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, we feel a need for justice when we are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says in Romans chapter 2,
mm-hmm.
Verse 15, and I'm reading out the New King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
It says, who shall the work of the, hallelujah, who shall the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness,
yeah.
And between themselves, their thoughts accusing or else excusing them.
Mm-hmm.
My Lord, my God, and I'm going to pass the man into a read it from the message in the, is it NLT?
I got the NLT. You want me to read it from the NLT?
Okay, let's read it from the NLT in Romans chapter 2,
okay.
Verse 15.
All right. Romans chapter 2.
Verse 15.
Okay. Okay, Romans chapter 2. In verses 15,
mm-hmm.
from the New Living Translation, not the New International Version, but the New Living Translation, the NLT, it reads here. Oh, these letters are a little small, okay. It reads here, they demonstrate that God's law is written in their hearts,
mm-hmm.
for their own conscience and thoughts, either accuse them or tell them they are doing right.
Mm.
Amen.
Jesus. Amen. So understanding. And two, based on the law, forgiveness seems inappropriate and unnatural. So when we look in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 21, and we'll get my pastor man to read it for us out the Message Bible, Pastor.
For the Message Bible.
Yes.
Okay.
The Bible says, it's Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 21. It says, show no pity, life for life, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. And that's in Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 21. When we look at it, based on the law of forgiveness seems inappropriate and unnatural.
Go ahead.
Oh. You have Deuteronomy chapter 19.
Okay.
Verse 21, that's Deuteronomy, you all, chapter 19, verse 21.
From the Message?
Yes.
Okay, so here we are. See, I'll have to read it from the New International Version. The Message Bible really don't have the numbers there. So we'll read it here from the New International Version.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 21. That's what you say, right?
Yes, so you're going to be at Deuteronomy
19, 21. Okay. Deuteronomy 19 and 21,
mm-hmm.
from the NIV, it reads, show no pity, life for life, eye for eye, and tooth for tooth, hand for hand and foot for foot. And the message, it reads over here, it says, don't feel sorry for the person. It's life for life, mm-hmm. eye for eye, mm-hmm. tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. That definitely sounds like law there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Amen. Man, amen. Amen. So, again, the scriptures are Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 21. So this principle was for the judges to use,
mm-hmm.
not
mm-hmm.
a plan for personal vengeance, church.
Mm-hmm.
This attitude toward punishment may seem, you know, primitive, you all, but it was actually a breakthrough for justice and fairness in the ancient times when most nations used arbitrary methods and punishable crimes. I want us to understand that punish criminals. So this guideline reflected a concern for even-handedness and justice, so ensuring that those who violated the law were not punished more severely than their particular crime deserved. So in the same spirit of justice, a false witness was to receive the same punishment what the accused person would have suffered. So understanding this principle of making the punishment fit the crime should still be observed today. And we see this in the system, you know, the punishment fitting the crime. A lot of times you get people say the punishment don't fit the crime.
Mm-hmm.
But it was set up that way so that the punishment does fit the crime. And then number three, because God is God, justice from hallelujah, God, thank you. Because God is God of justice, somebody has to pay.
Mm-hmm.
That somebody was Jesus.
Amen.
The death of Jesus on the cross fulfilled the justice of God.
Mm-hmm.
When we look in the book of Romans, Pastor, if you'll go there for me, Romans chapter 3, verse 25 through 26.
Which verse in the Bible is like?
It doesn't matter. Romans chapter 3, just let us know which one you'll be reading from. Romans chapter 3, verse 25 through 26. Thank you.
Amen. I'll read from the NLT, the New Living Translation.
Okay.
Romans chapter 3, mm-hmm. verses 25 and 26. It reads here, for God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right through God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shed his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past.
Mm.
26, it says, for he was looking ahead, amen, and including them and what he would do in this present time.
Mm.
God did this to demonstrate his righteousness,
mm.
for he himself is fair and just, and he makes sinners right in the sight when they believe in Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I don't think you can put it any better than that.
Jesus. That's a whole breakdown in itself. So you are, church, in the same way that God needed to have his justice satisfied by Jesus dying on the cross, shouldn't we expect justice before we extend mercy and forgiveness? That's the question. Should we? The truth is that although everyone must face God's justice, Jesus was the payment for everyone's wrongs. I'll say that again.
Yes.
Jesus was the payment for everyone's wrongs. Whether everybody believed that or not,
yes.
It is true. While governments execute justice individually, we are to extend mercy, church. We are to extend mercy. We are to leave individual justice to God. The Bible exhorts us to, according to the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 36, it says, be merciful just as your Father is merciful.
Mm-hmm.
Can we do that?
Can we?
Can we do that? We can.
You know, Apostle, I'm going to be honest about it. You know, I'm going to be honest about it. You know, I believe that when it comes my turn, see, I'm going to use myself as an example. Mm-hmm. When it comes my turn, you know, to pass or fail the test, I need to realize, you know, the test has been, I need to recognize the test first. You know, because I can easily go back over into performance of the law,
mm-hmm.
which is also equal to self, when you end up in self.
Mm.
So, you know, things happen in your life, but I don't want to hear that after you done stumped my toe and I'm hurting right here, right now.
Mm.
You know, it may take a little time for the pain to go away. And I like how some of the older gentlemen I grew up with, how they used to say, it may take a little while for the swelling to go down.
Mm.
You know? So I'm going to say, you know, when it's my turn, God, he got to work on me.
Jesus.
He got to work on me. I'm glad that I do have a way out. I'm glad that I do have an option, because without the option, without knowing the difference or without knowing the truth, if you only know what you know, without the knowledge of faith, without the knowledge or the even acknowledgement of God's presence,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, you're destined to mess that thing up. You're destined to fail. And here it is, the one that committed the crime or that committed the wrong, they could very well end up receiving that forgiveness and God's forgiveness, and they make it on in, and then you don't make it in. They end up changing because God, you know, he do a new work in them, because you read the scripture, or one of us read the scripture where it says that, you know, Jesus, he died for everyone's wrong, everyone's sin, everyone's doing. That means, you know, those that are just and unjust, or however you want to look at it, you got to go through Jesus Christ. So I'm going to be honest about it. God, work on me.
Mm.
Work on me. Especially, you know, when it comes down to when I'm dealing with people. Lord Jesus. When I deal with, when we deal with people, and you got to deal with people. That's the number one thing that you're going to have to do is in your whole life, you're going to have to deal with people, and people are going to have to deal with you. Forgive me and help me to be able to forgive as well. Amen.
Amen. My Lord, my God, help, Lord. Yeah. Help us to be able to apply, you know, the word of God.
Yeah.
It is for transformation. It's not for us to stay the same. Amen.
Yeah.
It's not about your outer appearance.
Mm-hmm.
It's about what's inside of you. And if you get it on the inside, you should be able to release it. That's in you. It will come out. Amen. It will come out. Amen. So we're going to be wrapping up here, but I do want to talk about, before we wrap up here, and I think everyone is here in Bible study on tonight, and those that will be in Bible that will hear this lesson at a later time, I pray that you'll be able to receive it, amen, and that you will apply it to your life, amen. So at this time, if you have any questions or any comments, we definitely want to hear from you. If you're online listening on tonight, we ask that you call in to 845-277-9213. And if you are on tonight, press 1. We definitely want to open up the lines so that we can, the lines of communication here, so that we can answer any questions that you may have, and, you know, whatever comments or whether you have gotten from the lesson on tonight as we've been journeying in the power of forgiveness and being set free. So I'm going to let Pastor Manny say a few words here, and then I want to wrap up with how is a spiritual stronghold developed when we're dealing with unforgiveness and how that looks. Okay, so Pastor Manny, you want to?
Oh, yeah, you know, I got some show and tell. Amen. I got a little show and tell. You know, I want to. There was my wife and I, you know, we celebrated anniversaries just this past week. Was it a week?
Yeah, last week.
Last week, we celebrated our anniversary, and, you know, we definitely needed to have some time to get away, some, you know, some time just me and her. You know, we do a lot of ministry. We do a lot of work, you know, at home, you know. Of course, you know, our regular jobs, you do a lot of work. So we deal with a whole lot, you know, as being pastors and, you know, being representatives of God's body. You know, we are looked up to. People, you know, they look at, you know, the pastors and, you know, God's elect, like, we should never mess up. We should never do no wrong. We should never make no mistake. But I want to tell every single body, you know, that if I'm not allowed to make a mistake, then what I'm saying is that I'm not allowed to experience the goodness of God. I'm not allowed to have Jesus Christ, you know, working anything out in my life. And that's not true. That's not true. It don't matter, you know, what you do for a living or if you do anything for a living, everybody has a right to experience God. You know, that's the reason why God gave himself, so everybody, you know, can take that opportunity, can take that chance, you know, to trust in him, to trust in him with every single thing that is concerning them. You know, me and Apostle, we were getting ready to go on our anniversary getaway. Thank God, you know, that we even had the opportunity to go on our anniversary getaway, and here trouble showed up. And it wasn't with nobody. It was between me and her. See, now we got to be transparent. It was between me and her. So I can't even remember exactly what happened, but I said something and it didn't go over right with Apostle, and she said something and it didn't go over right with me. And here it is right here in this place. Both of us was tested with the very thing that we're preaching right now. We are being tested with, okay, what are you going to do? You know, yeah, you said that. Yeah, you did that. But what are you going to do right when you do that? And I tell you, God had to really, really, really work with me, because it was not that, you know, I don't know anything about forgiveness. I don't know anything about God, and I don't know anything about Scripture. It was just right here in that moment, in that time, a test showed up right here to see, okay, are you going to forgive your wife for the thing that she said to you? And, you know, when it boils down to it, no, she shouldn't have said what she said. And no, I shouldn't have said what I said. That's the fact. But see, just because that's right and that's the fact, that don't mean that she deserves, you know, anything. But the whole fact of you knowing who you are, when you can give something to somebody that they do not deserve. See, I'm talking about forgiveness. See, this is that place to where the genuineness of your faith in God, this is where God shows up in your life. See, we more focus on what happened, you know, and how we gonna deal with it. But see, when you start to listen to God, and when you really, you know, acknowledge his presence, say, okay, well, God, what do I do? What do I do? I'm mad, as you know how we say it. I'm mad. And she shouldn't have did that. And then you hear a word from God when he tell you to, okay, well, just go head on and forgive. Okay, well, how am I going to forgive something that's going on right now? She's doing it right now. You know, God will tell you what to do and actually tell you how to do it. But you have to have the courage enough to listen to God. Don't sit there in that place and be listening to those thoughts. Don't sit there in that place and be remembering all of the things that are, you just rehearsing, you know, that thing, just rehearsing it over and over and over and thinking that the outcome going to change. because that's something that have entered into your mind and it entered into your heart, and you may be right about it. But see, the word of God, it changes things. It changes things. And I'm talking about it ain't going to take it no long time to change it. When you give it all over to God, or when you just let it go, and you okay, acknowledge that it happened. But see, don't just stop right there. Acknowledge God's presence. Say, yes, God, that you was right there. You seen what happened, but tell me what it is that you would have for me to do. And he'll sure tell you. And it may be something that you didn't even know. Like, okay, sometimes we think just the words, I forgive you, would be enough. See, that might not be enough, because you may need to, before you say, I forgive you, you may need to go take a ride a little while and go see something. Go lay your eyes on something. See, God, he'll tell you what to do. And then he also, when you get there where he tell you to go, there may be something else that you'll do that'll bring you right back to the place to where you'll be like, you know what? Let me go on and let this right here thing go. You know, I done cooled down a little bit, and, you know, that was a misunderstanding. I really don't have to pump it up that high. You know, I can easily, you know, say, you know what? All right, I let it go. But I think that's what we enter into, you know, when we do things like that. We just rehearse that thing, and then we don't acknowledge God's presence in the middle of whatever it is that's going on. We can't see him. We can't hear him because we're so stuck into the presence, so stuck into self, so stuck into you need to pay for what you did. We get so stuck in that. Amen. I'm gonna give it back to Apostle. I can go on and on. Amen.
All right. All right. Amen, amen. So we're going to talk about here before we wrap up here tonight, how is a spiritual stronghold developed? When we think about it, a lot of us know about a little bit about military, at least. Just to give an example, so in the military work, if your enemy gains a foothold, and that means your enemy has gained some of your ground, your enemy has taken some of your territory. So now with that foothold, your foe has a secure base. Mm-hmm. From which they can be further advanced.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have been hurt,
mm-hmm.
and as a result of harbor anger in your heart,
mm-hmm.
realize that your unresolved anger can be a foothold for the enemy.
Amen.
The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 to 27, mm-hmm. in your anger do not sin.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry.
Yeah.
And do not give the devil a foothold.
Yeah. That's right.
How many
That's
of
right.
us have done that?
That's right.
How many of us have done it? Can we be transparent and say, yeah, I've done it.
I've done it.
That was me.
That was me.
But let's be delivered and set free. Amen. Let's be delivered and set free. Understand the development of a spiritual stronghold. One, when you refuse to forgive your offender, you have unresolved anger.
Yeah.
Two, unresolved anger in turn allow Satan to set up a stronghold in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
That thing is playing over and over, and it keeps fueling that. It keeps fueling the fire.
Mm.
My Lord, my God, how many of us been there at the same time? So this stronghold is a fortified place from which flaming arrows of the evil one are flung, according to Ephesians 6 and 16. So the flaming arrows of accusation and unforgiveness can continue to burn in your heart and keep you mentally captive to do the enemy's will.
Mm.
So now you're not operating according to the will of God. You're operating according to the will of who?
Flesh.
Satan.
Amen.
The evil one.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Because if it don't come from God, it has to come from somewhere.
Yeah.
Amen. So at this point, you are engaged in spiritual warfare.
Mm-hmm.
In order to win the spiritual warfare, recognize that the battle for freedom is fought in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You need to take captive every thought of unforgiveness and release your unresolved anger to God. The Bible says in Colossians 3 and 8,
mm-hmm.
you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips.
Mm-hmm.
My Lord, my God. The following spiritual warfare prayer will help you to honestly comfort and release your anger to God and thereby rid yourself of such damaging habits.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to pray this prayer here. Says, dear Heavenly Father,
yeah,
I don't want to be defeated in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you that Jesus who lives in me is greater than Satan who is in this world.
Amen.
I know I have been bought with the price of Christ's blood, which was shed at Calvary.
Yeah.
My body is not my own. It belongs to Christ.
Amen.
Right now, I refuse all thoughts that are not from you, Lord God.
Yeah.
I choose to forgive those who have hurt me, and I choose to release all of my pain and anger into your hands. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I resist Satan and all his power right now. According to James 4:7, as I stand in the forearm of God, I ask you to bind Satan and his demonic forces from having any influence over me. Amen.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. From now on, with the shield of faith, I would defect and defeat every unforgiving thought that could defeat me. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And I yield my life to your plan and your purpose according to Jeremiah 29:11. Amen.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray.
Yeah.
And we all say amen, amen, amen. And amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This time we're going to wrap up here tonight. It has been a blessing, and it's always a real good time. And Bible study for me, I can get an, whenever you're here, Pastor Manny, just having an opportunity to come together and reflect, you know, because that's what, you know, just having a time in Bible study where we can just slow the pace down and we're able to talk about that, you know, talk about that thing, you know, and understanding what that thing is, amen, and dealing with the root of that thing so that we can truly be delivered, so we can uproot that, amen, all its roots, ripping it out, amen, hallelujah. So now, and filling that place with what? The will of God.
Yeah. That's right.
With the Spirit of God. And it's so important. And I pray that many more of you all will attend Bible study here on Wednesday nights, because we definitely want to hear from you all. Me and Pastor Manny, we don't mind talking and answering questions and going back and forth with each other, asking questions and, you know, being able to effectively communicate here on this platform and giving each other an opportunity. But we definitely want to hear from you all in Bible study. So if you have any questions, don't leave here, you know, wondering if, why, how, I didn't get that, I didn't understand it. But we want you to get an understanding. If you don't get anything else, get an understanding so that you can be transformed, so that you can be changed. The enemy wants to keep you confused and in bondage. Mm-hmm. Understand that. And that way, if he keeps you there, he can continue to play you like a fiddle.
Yeah.
And so that's so important. So I do thank you all as we wrap up here. I'm going to ask Pastor Manny to give us some closing remarks on tonight and then to lead us out, take us out in prayer. Amen. Lead us out in prayer. Amen. God bless everyone.
Amen. Thank you, Apostle.
Amen.
Thank God. Thank every single one online. Thank every single one in Bible study tonight. You know what? Just while you were making this last declaration there, something come over my heart. A word come over my heart is the reason why we're here in Bible study. You know, most of us, you know, that are older, we have heard the word, we know the word, and you know, and we think we got it. You know. But the reason why you come to Bible study is to be sharpened. See, God ain't going to give you, you know, all the, you know, the word of God. So you wouldn't even be able to hold it all, to understand it all. You know, the Bible study, you know, is for us to study the word. It's for us to get an understanding of the word. The reason why, because when we go out and somebody that ain't never heard the word of God before, or maybe they don't have an understanding of the word of God. See, we are to be the ones to be the example. And that's just the perfect reason why we should come to Bible study. Because if we go out, you know, I'm talking to the body of Christ, you know, we believers, you know, we who are born again, we who are the representatives of the kingdom of God. See, when you represent the kingdom of God, see, you need to stay in his presence. Because you're going to be in the presence of those who don't represent the kingdom of God. And what we're to do is to be that body that God can flow to win souls over.
Yes.
That's why we need to come to Bible study. even if you got the answer already, come to Bible study and help me out. You know, sharpen me up a little bit on something that I may not have an understanding of. You know, the Bible tells us over here, you know, when two or three are gathered together in Jesus' name, he said, in my name, there I am in the middle of it all.
Mm-hmm.
So I need you to come on the Bible study, church.
Yes.
I need you because I need your help out here, you know, to help me to win over souls here. You know, that's what God have called us to do. He have called the body of Christ, you know, to be together and to work together, sending you out. Not just one at a time, but, you know, I seen in the Bible, he sent them out two by two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we need to come together, come to Bible study, sharpen one another so we can help these little children. I got two young ones here, and one of my sons, you know, is here, and we got to be able to help these children out. They're learning so much off of these internet and these devices and things that's not of God. They're laying their eyes on so many things and learning all type of behaviors and stuff, and we wonder where that stuff come from, and then they go through things, and then they don't know how to come out. They don't know how to come out, and that's where Satan is there to – he want to get the young. He want to get the young and the old, but he would much rather get the ones that are young and vibrant and don't know anything. You that know a whole lot, see, it's hard for them to pull one over on you, but you can easily pull one over on your son, your daughter. You know, he can easily pull one on them, and nobody wants to see their family members, you know, perish. So you come to church, you come to Bible study, and bring them cheering. Bring your children to Bible study, because when you start seeing, you know, things change in your home and things change in the relationship, you have to ask yourself this question. Now, I know this may veer a little bit, you know, off of the lesson of forgiveness, but you have to ask yourself this question. Am I representing God? I say, you know, God, I roll all my cares over on you. I care for my children, so are you bringing your children to God? Are you bringing them to church? Are you bringing them to the place where they can really get some help? Or are you just letting them go through something without the tools to fight with, without the knowledge of even knowing what to do? Amen. God bless you. May God keep you. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for every single opportunity that you give us each and every day of our lives. We thank you, Father God, that you allow your wisdom to flow through us like rivers of living water. We thank you, Father God, that you didn't give it all to us at one time. We know, we realize that we would have messed it up, but we thank you, Father God, that you take your time with us to develop us. You take your time, Father God, you know, when it comes down to this life that you give us. You said in your word that you will give us long life and you will show us your salvation. But that takes a relationship with you, Christ Jesus. You never meant for us just to come one day or 2 days. You meant for us to be together every single moment, every single day, every single moment of our life that you give unto us, acknowledging your presence in every single area of our lives, and we just want to say thank you.
Mm-hmm.
See, Father God, we thank you that we're not just so holy roly and just not just just reading and reciting the Bible and learning this and learning that just so we can show somebody scripture that we know. But you, Father God, give us this opportunity to have a relationship with you so we can show that we are the children of God. We are the righteousness of God. We are the light of the world that cannot be hid, or a light that cannot be darkened. So that's the reason why we say thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Father God, for not leaving us when we're going through the suffering. We thank you, Father God, that you are right there. You see, we thank you that you didn't take us out of it too fast, Father God. You let us learn, hallelujah, knowing that you are with us,
yes,
that you will never leave us nor forsake us no matter what. And, Father God, when that time comes, when you say, come on home, my son, or come on home, my daughter, we thank you, thank you, thank you in advance that you will say, job well done. Job well done. That's the way you do it, my son. That's the way you do it, my daughter. Come on in. This is our prayer, Father God, that we pray not just by lip service, but with an honest expectation of being just like you are, right there where you are. We plead your blood, Christ Jesus, over us. Every single thing that is concerning us, every single one that's concerning us, our children, our home, our relationships, our jobs, our ministries, our minds, our hearts, our bodies. We plead your blood, Christ Jesus. And we say by faith, all is well. All is well with us because you are well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God bless you. You all take great care. If you can join us in the morning at 5 a.m. Central Standard Time for our intercessory prayers. We're in prayer these 28 days of February at 5 a.m. God bless you. Take great care. Hallelujah.
Oh, I want to see him look upon his face. Let us sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, hold me last, ever to rejoice.
I want to hear her say, well.
Give it back to you. You gave me my husband, you know I love him, and now I'll give him back, so you know I'm all in. Lord, take my children, my family. I want you to know that you have me. I need to know that you're happy. Yeah, when I finally start breathing, yeah. Bow down to the king on the throne. Hold up, wait a minute. Gold streets, gold mansion. Just because I look gone with a passion. Can't get you when I get, but if you ask him, he'll give you that like can you imagine. Living without all his grace, sometimes I still get amazed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Praise you for all of my days until I finally stop breathing, yeah. Yeah.